Blog Talk Radio.
Halloween Jack and the Bone Jangler. It's the eerie late night.
Beat, I'll tell you. I like bongos. I love bongos. I feel like we should be introducing a show like, I don't know, Bowling for Dollars or something with that theme song, but that's a great theme song, and we love it here at the Eerie Late Night Radio Show. And, yeah, it's been a long time since we've been around. So, gosh, what is it, 4 or 5 months already, but here we are tonight, and who are we? Well, I'm one of your hosts, Handsome Halloween Jack of the Haunted Theater.
And I am your other host. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the Bone Jangler. That's right. Whoa.
Wow. I haven't heard that in a while. Geez. Yeah, this is nice. This is nice being back in business for a little while. I'm serious. I love that theme. I like that. I'm a big bongo nut. I guess it goes back to my Desi Arnaz days. Just digging those bongos. So, gosh, we've been gone for such a long time. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I don't know. Is anything going on?
Something must have happened in the past 5 months. What's been going on?
Well, a lot of things have gone on, but what's gone on in like the last, oh, I don't know, like 48, 72 hours, something like that? What's gone on then, huh?
Oh, I don't know. What has gone on?
Well, let's see. There was some sort of weird election or something there because they voted for like months, it seemed like. And there may have been some ballot box stuffing, but not in the case of one of the awards. One of the awards, I believe it's Monster Kid of the Year. I think it's supposed to be Lifetime, but they said year, I think. Maybe it was just a typo. You won it. You won the thing.
I did? Oh my
you
gosh.
Did. It's the true story.
No, I have to say that. I still turn around to Jackie and say, did I win this? Did I really win this? I can't believe it. I'm absolutely stunned. I'm grateful to everybody that voted. And let's not forget the Monster Channel came in right up there too. You know, like I said before, I don't want this to all overshadow that. The fact that Monster Channel, I believe, came in third. I mean, we're honorable mention. Kudos to, I believe, what was it? Gosh, no, I can't remember who won the best website. Was it Bloody Disgusting?
Deadly. It was Bloody Disgusting.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to them. I mean, that is a great site. That is a great site. And congratulations to our good friend Sven Gulli for once again getting that favorite horror host of the year award. My gosh, how many years has that been now?
I believe it's been every single year since MeTV went national.
Man.
So that would be like 11 years.
Wow. Well, good for
him.
He does deserve it.
Oh, yeah. I remember when he was, it was just like a Chicago type thing, you know, you're either in, the greater part of Illinois or the armpit of Chicagoland, northwestern Indiana, or like the lower part of Wisconsin. If you weren't there, the only way you might really for real have seen Sven is back in his Son of Sven days, like when you saw him way back when he was syndicated briefly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Him and...
I told that story.
Ron, oh, yeah, you and your stories. You definitely have a story about when you first saw him.
hang on a second. Someone's calling in. So let's see who this is. Hello, you're on the Erie Late Night Radio Show.
Erie Late Night Radio Show. I was calling to get some medical tests done.
I got this problem,
you know, and I think I need that little blue pill or something.
I thought you were going to call for a pizza. That's what I thought you were going to say.
That would have been too ordinary.
Mr. Maniacal, everybody, as if anybody didn't know.
Well,
you know, I don't want to give your phone number away here, which I'm not going to say the whole thing, but. I won't give the area code, but it's very interesting because the first three numbers of Mr. Maniacal's phone number are 666, and I'm not lying.
Yes, that is correct. That's correct. years ago when I got signed up for my cell phone, they said, well, they gave me the 666. And they go, do you have a problem with that? Some people won't take that. I said, no, give it to me. Why not? And I've had it ever since.
Wow.
I thought it was fitting. But that's
that
all the
definitely
post.
Is.
I had to call and congratulate and be part of the party. That's why I'm here.
There's a party? Oh, there's a party.
We're going to make it now. We're going to make the party now.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I've said this, and I've said this about everybody, and I know this sounds cliched when people win awards and they say this kind of stuff, but, I mean, this is for everybody. This is definitely for everybody because, I mean, there wouldn't be a website if it wasn't for you, Mr. Maniacal. There wouldn't be a Saturday night party that we have if it wasn't for Bone Jangler. And all the attention, all the promos, everything that everybody does for this channel I'm humbled and very flattered, and To me, this is a win for us all because it just brings attention to what we all do. And that's been the main thing with us, with all of us. Let's say that. I mean, we've all been doing this for a long time. And for, gosh, 22 years, we've been trying to draw attention to this. And it's our time. Not mine. It's ours. And somebody else is calling in. And I think I know who this is. So hang on one second. Hello, sir. You're on the Erie Late Night Radio Show.
Hello. I'd like to order a box of Monster Channel Whorehouse pencils.
Wait, those are available? I want one too.
Uh-oh. Monster Channel Whorehouse, I don't know.
Yeah, and if there's a buy one, get two free, you know, I'd be happy to take that too.
What, pencils or are we talking
Well, sometimes, you know, it's like the knives, you know, they give some away free.
Genius.
Okay, wait a minute. Now there's somebody else calling from the same area code.
Oh,
geez. Uh-oh. Let's see who this is. Hello, you're on the Erie Late Night Radio Show. Who's this?
It's your old pal, Slash.
Slashy baby.
Flashy baby, that's right. Can't be on here too long. I'm at work, but I wanted to chime in for a minute. I don't have no pencils to give you, but I have a congratulations on the Rondo Award. It's well deserved, a million times over.
Thanks,
there's
brother.
No one else that deserves that more than you. I honestly mean that from the bottom of my hairy heart.
Thank you, brother. It means a lot. It means a lot from all of you. I mean. Again, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm hardly ever speechless. I mean, This has been an amazing 48 hours, and again, it's all thanks to all of you guys. You know, you make this channel what it is too. Wouldn't be a channel if
Wouldn't
it wasn't for
exactly
all of
though,
you.
Bro.
So,
I definitely think that it's a symbiotic relationship, Jack, because you pick the programming. You know, in a sense, and this is what I've felt ever since I first started watching the channel. You pick the programming; it's a window inside your mind, inside your preferences, inside your love of the genre, and around the clock, that's the way it is. And you know, you pick it, and we watch it, and often we watch it together, and that's the magic of it, you know?
Oh, wow.
Before I hop off here, I want to say, Bone Jangle, are you there?
I'm here, dude.
I love you, brother.
I love you.
Love you too, Stevie and Jack. I love you. I love everyone else there. And Stevie, don't play with Tim's weenus.
Oh, gosh. Here you go with the...
Slashy. I'll catch you guys on down the road. You guys have a hell of a night.
Oh, thank you, Slash. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
I'm not going to attempt
brother.
To do that. Good night, bro. Wow. I'm no more going to attempt to do his howl than I would attempt to do Bone Jangler's opening, because if I do, I'll probably give myself like three hernias. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Not even going to attempt it.
I was just going to say that. I'll blow something inside if I try.
Don't do that.
I was just going to say, you know, Jack, it's okay to take a little bit of praise for yourself, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a stand-up dude that, you know, that, and everything you're saying is right. You know, this has been a long time coming. It's everybody working together, making this whatever. But we wouldn't be here together if it wasn't for you. So this award is well deserved, and you can take a little bit of praise. You know, you don't have to keep pushing praise towards us.
I don't know. I'm afraid to. I guess I don't know.
you earned it.
Always
waiting
for the other shoe to drop. No, thank you.
Yeah,
no, I, like I said, I do. I appreciate what everybody's saying. I really do. Again, I see it as a victory. I see it as a victory for all of us. And I said it in chat today. I mean, a lot of us have been toting this banner for a long time, and horror hosting always has its ups and downs. It lulls, and we have highs and lows just like everybody else. And the thing is, my mission has been to shine the spotlight on all of us. And for 22 years, some of us have been doing this, or 10 years or whatever. And to me, even at those low points, we're still keeping it in the spotlight. So it's like we're not letting anybody forget this. We're not letting anybody forget what a great art form this is, what great people are doing this, and we're just going to keep toting the banner. And this whole thing to me, what's happened in the past 48 hours, the culmination of a lot of work from a lot of people. And believe me, that to me, the Monster Channel coming in third, by no means is that anything to be ashamed of. I think that's great after all this time.
No.
Because there were times we haven't even gotten mentioned in the same breath with anybody else, and to be up there right now, and my goal, and I hope everybody else's goal, is next year we're gonna push to make this the best website, and I don't know what else to say.
Well, coming in,
I mean, it's
coming in third to me means we're on the radar. It's on the radar. People know. People are watching.
Yeah.
People are enjoying. And being on the radar, it means it's inevitable at this point. So a third place is a victory, for sure. Is it the winning victory? No, but for, like you said, all the hard work that's put in by Bone, by you, by everybody else, we should all enjoy what that means, and that means we're on the radar, and it's a long time coming.
Space Pirate said third is the new first. There you go. I like that.
Hey, why not?
And Vincent is saying he's proud to have been the one who broke the news to me about that. Yes, he was. He was the one. I had no idea
of
what was going on.
Awesome.
And yes, he did. Thank you, Vincent. And thank you to all of you guys. Seriously, everybody who does shows, everybody who does graphics, everybody who does everything. I mean, I'm really proud of this. I'm really proud of this. And I'm proud of everybody. And I'm proud of what everybody's done for this channel. And I'm telling you, we're getting bigger and bigger. And we're not going to stop. Oh, my gosh. People are calling in. Hang on a second. Let's see who this is. Hello. Welcome to the Eerie Late Night Radio Show.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, are you ready, Carita?
Sure.
Happy Rondo to you. Happy Rondo to you. Happy Rondo, Halloween Jack. Happy Rondo to you. The first of many more. Welcome to the 20th Rondo Awards and Monster Kid of the Year. The nominees are everybody out there in horror fandom and Halloween Jack. And it was no contest. Jack wins. Yay! Accepting the award for Jack is Drac. Jack would like to be here tonight, but he told me to pick up the award for him. That's a nice engraving on the plaque. Does that come off easy?
Yeah. Well, thank you,
both
of you.
Thank you for a lovely audience. How you guys doing? Hi, Bones. Hi, Jack.
Hey.
Doing okay.
Good.
We got somebody else hanging on. You don't mind me bringing somebody else in. It's really turning into a party. Yeah. Hello, who's this calling to the party line? Hello?
All right. Hello?
Yes?
Well, I'm glad it's turned into a party.
Well, it is now that you're here.
Well, I knew I wouldn't exactly be first calling to congratulate you, but now I'm glad I waited so long. I'm in such illustrious company.
is this the madam?
Thank you. No, that's Uncle
Jack,
Gomez.
I just want to add all of my thanks and to let you know, no, Monster Kid of the Year is all yours. Yes, I know it's been a group effort with the channel, and I'm just glad that a certain gentleman named Halloween Jack has invited me to the party.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate that, and I appreciate what everybody's saying. But that's the way I'm always going to look at it. It's ours. This channel is all of ours. And everybody is part of it, and everybody's a component of it, and everybody makes it the success it is. So there. Somebody going to refute that now?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be one to refute such an illustrious person as yourself. And
wait.
I don't think anybody else here with the channel would. We all owe you a lot.
Well, I appreciate that. Oh, thank you. And like I said, I owe all of you, too. I mean, it wouldn't be the channel without all of you. So,
so Jack, now that you're carrying the banner of Monster Kid of the Year, do you have any plans this year to do something to, like, forward Monster Kiddom? Are you going to be doing new shows for the channel?
Maybe. You never know. I mean, I only have the title for a year, so you never know what's going to happen in a year. So we'll see what happens.
And who is
it? Well, next year you'll just have to win it again then, won't you?
Yeah, sure.
Well, if Sven Gulli can win Horror Host 10, 12 years in a row, you certainly can be Monster Kid of the Year 10, 12 years in a row.
That's true.
I don't know. I think it's a one-shot thing. I don't believe anybody's repeated. I think.
Well, if there was a monster, like a Monster Kid Mount Rushmore, it'd be cool to see Halloween Jack carved up there four times.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you want to see me carved up. I'm sure. I think a lot of people would like to see me carved up.
Don't be a pumpkin head.
As Jackie just said, there were days that I was working on the channel and getting so frustrated, she wanted to carve me up. So, there you go.
Bones, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I'm in a celebratory mood for HJ.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to, Karita and I wanted to call in and in person say congratulations, Jack. It was
I love you guys.
Much deserved award. You know, we know
thank
how hard you work for the channel, and you're being humble and saying, like, this belongs to everybody, you know. Now, this is your award because you are the channel. You're the CEO.
Yes, and considering you work about as much as 10 people, I think I have to agree with the count.
Yeah. Thanks, son. You know, that's why you're the chairman of the board, Jack.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. If we do get the Rondo for the channel, I'm going to have to divide it up. You know, we're going to have to do that. And Mr. Maniacal has already claimed the chin of the award.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I want that fabulous chin.
So everybody put their bids in for what part they want, because we are going to get it. I'm telling you. We're going to do it.
It's coming.
I believe that now.
How about the nose?
Is the weenus spoken for?
Oh, I don't know. Does it have a weenus?
A
Rondo weenus. Oh, my God. I don't know, but I'll tell you what. It's yours. No problem. You can have it.
Ah, my night is made.
I think it's below the bust. Hopefully it's made of oak and not balsa.
Wow. I don't know now, but I've never won one of these before. Does it come in the mail, or does anybody know?
You have to go to Kentucky.
Kentucky?
What? Yes.
Oh, boy.
That's what they use.
What?
Wonderfest, right?
Yeah, Wonderfest.
Yes.
But I think they have mailed them out before. You know, cause,
well, probably so.
Yeah, you know, Mark Owen in England won Fan Artist of the Year a few years ago.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
His was actually mailed to him in England. So I'm sure, you know, you can make arrangements with David Colton. Who
wow.
is like, he is the Halloween Jack of the Classic Horror Film Board. You know, David Colton.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, you know? A big, big shout out to him. And I'm not just saying that because I won
mm-hmm.
this. I mean,
yeah.
No, big shout out to him, too. Yeah, I mean, this. Believe me, I having run the Hall of Fame and having to count votes and everything, I can imagine what he goes through. Matter of fact, I was talking to him about it the other day. It's a big task. It's a really big task, and kudos to him for doing this all this time.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, I wonder if he's going to be at Monster Bash. Maybe you could, like, how far are you from Pittsburgh, Jack?
I have no idea. Probably like 5-6 hours, something like that.
Oh. So maybe you could run up there and pick it up from him.
Yeah, I'll just run up there. Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm a couple hours from there. I'll just run and pick it up for you. And then I'll just forget to mail it to you.
Oh, all right. And then you mail it to me. Okay. We'll figure it out one way or the other.
We're going to clear the phone lines for somebody else because I'm sure there are a bunch of people waiting to call in, but congratulations. We love you.
All right. Thank you so much, both of you. Jack, Carita, you take care.
Okay. Yep.
Good
you
night.
Have a great night.
I think I'll be doing
thank
the same.
Thank you again.
I, Auntie's calling me, so I'd best be going as well. Congratulations, Jack.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Gomez. You take care and give Auntie my best, okay?
I certainly will. Good night, all.
All right. Take care. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good question. Do they have like a little ceremony thing where you go and get it presented to you? They used to, but I after COVID, God knows what they do anymore. But I know that they used to. But I don't know if they picked it up and did it again. That would be cool to go to if you could swing it. I know it's easier said than done, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like to try. I know that he said he was going to send out an email or something, so I guess I have to keep an eye out for that. I'm telling you, I don't think I have been more speechless for the past couple of days as I have been ever in my life. I mean, I seriously, my head's just reeling over this. But we only have 60 seconds. Let me play some more of this cool bongo music before we get. The Bone Jangler picked this. I love
nice.
This. Well, anyway, we only have 35 seconds left in the live portion of the show. So thank you, everybody in the chat, Dash, Yo Grappler. Thank you, Vincent, for letting me know I won this in the first place. Thanks to Space Pirate and Gomez and everybody else. Truly, thank you, everybody. I really, really appreciate what everybody's been saying tonight. So, Vincent's right. I'm still reeling from the news. So anyway, who knows when we'll be doing another show, so stay tuned. You never know. So everybody have a great night, and don't forget, listen to the archive. Wow, that got loud.
and the bongos.
Oh, groovy. I want to listen to the rest of it.
Yeah.
They do a version of Apache that's very similar to that, but it's very, very cool.
Really?
Who are they?
Wow.
Who are they?
Yeah, that band.
Oh, my gosh. Something to do with Bob.
I just thought it was cool. I was curious on who they were, that's all.
Well, hang on a second. I have it. Let me
go check Spotify and drive down the street to that.
No, I have it somewhere here. Hang on a second. Now, what the hell would I do with it? Oh, it's called the Incredible Bongo Band.
Nice. Nice. I'll find them.
I wonder if they're still around because we just gave them an incredible plug to them. You know, everybody's going to be looking them up now on YouTube. The name of this song is called Bongolia. Bongolia.
Bongolia. Like Mongolia.
Mongolia.
Yeah. It's not Mongolia. Jesus.
Hey, look, that's the way it looks. So what do you want? Mongolia?
Yeah, it's Mongolia.
Oh, my God.
You got to check out their version of Apache. You know the song Apache?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. They use that a lot of commercials.
I'm curious now. I got to find that. I got to find it.
And Bongolia is in Bongo the movie Baby Driver.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Speaking of YouTube, I got to give a shout out to Stevie, who had a wonderful collector's. It's called Monster Kid Collector Episode 1 from Raul Madblood, and he interviewed Stephen Gosling. About his, what was it, Stevie? The top 20?
Yeah,
DVD
Raul
in
had
your collection.
Raul had written to me and asked if I would put together a top 20 Monster Kid classic horror list, and I immediately thought, well, 20's not enough, but well, that's what we have to work with. And then I set about doing the list, and I really found out that 20 wasn't enough. But that's what we did, and there were some honorable mentions and little side roads here and there. But yeah, it was a fun interview. It came off a lot like my old YouTube vlogs. I wouldn't prepare, and I'd just go and pick up the DVD and say, "Well, this is this movie," and this is what I think about it and stuff. And it was lots of fun. I was really pleased the way he put it together and, you know, left a lot of the shout outs in and left a lot of the interplay in, you know, with him contributing. So, yeah, it was a very cool little presentation.
Yeah, I got to hear about half of it. Well, maybe about a quarter of it. I'm looking forward to listening. I mean, it's almost 2 hours.
Yeah,
but if anybody listening is interested, go to the YouTube page of the Mad Bloods, and that's MADBLUDS. And they've done quite a few good interviews with people. Of course, they interviewed Slash, who was one of the first ones. I did an interview with him. Princeton Vice is going to be coming up on the Monster Channel in 2 weeks, making his debut or their debut. They interviewed him and Mr. Molto and who else? Gosh, I'm blanking. This is what we were talking about, Stevie, about making a list. Oh, Octavian and Sinister Minister and Doc Dredd.
Sally was
they interviewed. Right. Yeah, I mean, and it's a great series. And Dr. Gangrene, let's not forget. Lord Bloodraw.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you get a chance, go to their YouTube page. They've got a lot of great interviews. And they're a lot of fun. It was a fun interview to do. So what else do you want to talk about?
Well, we have to continue to talk about how you work 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, and deserve this award.
Yes. Well, everybody's heard that already, so we don't have to talk about that again, do we?
Well, doesn't hurt.
You realize that the show could go on until 1:30 in the morning again, so we need to come up with a topic to talk about.
Oh, geez. we got to think? I mean, come on. This is a party. You're not supposed to think at a party.
All right. Did everybody see the Batman movie?
No.
The Batman?
Yeah.
The new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Patterson.
Have you gotten to see it yet, Stevie?
I have not seen it. I'll probably see it when it, you know, finally gets out on, you know, disc and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, this is an incredibly small town. We don't even have a movie theater. So,
Gosh, wow. Really?
Yeah. So I usually wait until it comes out on disc, whatever the film might be. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, picture where Stevie lives being like whatever town it is that they live in Tormented. You know, like there's a light tower and there's like a hamburger place on the beach and that's like it.
Does that describe it, Stevie?
Well, you know, there ought to be a light tower, but we're even too small for that. There is one up the next town over.
But you can see it, right?
Yes, and you can also see the revolving beam over here. We have a very small airport. I wouldn't even call it an airport. It's a landing strip, very tiny, and it's here by you know, the good graces of the oil companies, and they needed a landing strip to come and go on. There's a Coast Guard helipad over there, and also the really rich people who live up in the hills, they have their private planes. So they'll go out and decide they're going to take a trip at, like, you know, 2:15 a.m. You'll hear the planes revving up. Yeah, you'll hear.
Oh my
gosh! Quiet as the grave. There's no noise around here at all. It's just, you know, nothing. And in the middle of the night, you'll hear the planes revving up and taking off and all that kind of thing. So that's the quirky aspect of Ghoul Beach.
Sounds lovely. Oh God, I don't know. I can't. I shouldn't, because I hear the trains. I'm not too far from a couple train lines. So it'd be like, you don't hear much at night. They got regulations stuff. Every once in a while, you hear the trains rolling by. Not the horns. The horns, they cut off at a certain time, but you could still hear the, that's always
cool. Oh, not around here. Not around. And you guys heard it when we've done this radio show. You can hear.
We're
right across the street from a crossing, and because it's a crossing, they have to blow the horn. So
they have to blow the horn.
And they do that.
Yep.
Every time, all the time, any time, every time of the day and night.
Well,
so I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
The wonderful thing about ours is they're kind of set off. They're away from the roads. They go underneath like the highways and stuff. So the crossings don't really actually happen until they get closer to the areas like on the west side or the east side where they're delivering to or whatnot. So I look out there. They do cut off their horns at a certain time. But, that's always fun. And little perks of living in various places with those things. Planes would drive me mad. Planes would drive me mad. I think I would sit. The planes bus. I think I would sit. I think I would go at about midnight and just throw bird seed or release pigeons or something. So when the planes take off, they like splatter all the birds and leaves all over their windows and crash.
Oh,
that would be fun to watch. No, I don't know.
You're giving me.
It's late. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's late, man.
Wow.
It's been a long week.
What
was that, Steve?
Although I think every radio show ought to have a haunted train whistle in it, you know? So in that way, it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You stick around with the show long enough and you'll hear it. I always call it the Horror Express passing through.
And
I just have the Horror Express coming through.
And that whistle on this show is what made you win the Monster Kid of the Year.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
That was the clinch. That was the clinch right there.
Gosh, I can't believe we haven't talked in 4 months and we don't have anything to talk about. We're talking about train whistles. There's got to be something.
Hey,
what can we talk about?
Well, I have a question. I want to ask a real fanboy question, but it's the kind of stuff
okay.
I live for. If you could have been on the set of any movie, any horror movie ever made, what would it be?
Mm.
Any time frame.
Oh. Wow.
Well, I know mine.
Just one, huh?
Well, start with one.
I think I know yours too, Bones, and it's probably pretty close to mine. Wow. All right, so, Bones, you got the answer. Why don't you go first?
with mine or what I believe yours is?
No, yours.
Oh, well, I think that the title of the film is very similar to the one that you would say. I've dreamed of being on this set many times. And people think, that movie? What the hell did you pick that movie for? It's just that's what it is. And that movie is Orgy of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Good
choice.
That faux graveyard, astroturf, mausoleum, all that stuff, you know, with Criswell and Gulita, and definitely with Pat Barrington or Barringer. I think she goes by Barrington in that film because she plays the redheaded girlfriend that they get in a car wreck. If you've never seen the film before, if you have seen it, she plays that girl that gets taken captive with her loser boyfriend. And then she also plays the because it's just basically the film after a little bit is just like one dancing topless chick after another, basically. And the one they dip into the gold, she lived for gold. That's also Pat Barrington. And if you've ever seen the film, I mean, she's the most memorable one. Her and Fawn Silver, who plays Gulita, she also is one of the dancing dead girls, too. Those two, far and away, they steal the show. But, yeah, I've dreamed of being on that set many, many times. Very realistic dream.
Well, that's a fascinating choice.
Well, I'll let Mr. Maniacal go.
Oh. Well, my reasoning isn't as wonderful as Bones, because that sounded good. But I don't know. I think I'm going to stretch it. I think I would like to have been around in the early silent era. I mean, early stuff, like the Thomas Edison stuff, the little, like, five-minute shorts, to see the faces and the experiences of artists back then with this brand-new medium, creating something that's literally never been seen before. I think experiencing that would be so cool. And even like Nosferatu and Cabin of the Cagliari, even those, you know, they pushed the limits and they didn't know what they were doing. There's no precedent. There was nothing. It was just pure creative art form. Hey, we have this medium. Let's do it. Let's try this and see if it works. I think that would be such, from an artist standpoint, a wonderful experience to be able to observe if it was possible.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Stevie, it's your question. I'm going to let you answer it before I get my answer.
Okay.
And I know Bones knows my answer already.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's a difficult choice, isn't it? You know, probably the current me, the answer wouldn't be terribly surprising. You know, childhood me would have another choice. But the current me, the grown-up me, there really is only kind of one choice, and that would be James Whale's Frankenstein. To be able to observe what happened, you know, behind the scenes, how things went, you know, how it grew into the phenomenon that it ultimately became. With that amazing character makeup by Jack Pierce, how this unknown actor, you know, wanders into the makeup and 6 hours later comes out looking like this really disquieting graveyard urchin, you know, I just feel like it would be really amazing to kind of, you know, watch the process of making that movie and to perhaps have the knowledge of what it would become and have all of that informed by watching them make it. You know, that's just kind of a fantasy of mine.
I like that. I would just like to be sitting in a chair in Jack Pierce's makeup room. I'm a makeup nut. I'm an effects makeup nut. So I don't care. Any movie that he did, be able to sit there and just watch someone that was such an amazing pioneer to be able to watch him work. That would be very cool, too.
Okay, Bones.
Yes.
I know you know my choice.
Of course. It's your favorite film.
Yep. I would love to have been on the set of Night of Living Dead for two reasons. Two reasons. Well, I mean, besides the obvious that it is my favorite movie, but chances are if I was on the set, I probably would have gotten to play a zombie because that's what they said. Anybody that showed up there, no matter who
right.
it was, they, you know, slapped some makeup on him and they became a zombie. But I think the other thing would have been to meet Chili Billy. You know, that
yeah.
he was pretty much in the heyday of his horror hosting at that point, where, I mean, he was pretty well known for it. I mean, even though, I mean, he went in, you know, long into the 70s, but how cool would that have been? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
and, of course,
absolutely.
George Romero, meaning George Romero. You know,
yeah. Wow. These are all a good answer.
Okay. Anybody else got any good questions? That was a really great question, Stevie. Thank you. I
okay,
like that.
Sure. Hey, I'm geek from head to toe. So.
I think we all are. We're all monster kids. They don't. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Being a geek is cool now, isn't it? Or is it anymore? I don't know. Things change so much. I have no idea.
Well, they say lately that the geeks will inherit the earth. So maybe so.
I thought they did already. But,
yeah. Well, you mentioned,
oh, well, gentlemen.
You mentioned the Batman. So,
yes.
I mean, all right.
Well, Stevie, close your ears.
Well, no.
Yeah, no spoilers for Stevie.
But those of you who have seen it, where would you put this compared to other cinematic Batman people?
Well, I'll go first. 89, Burton and Keaton, that I would rank that as number one. That's always been my personal number one. This one, I would slide into number two. Not as good as the Burton and Keaton, but I would put it number two.
Wow.
I enjoy it. I loved it. The dark film noir approach that they did, I loved it. I don't know what else to say because I don't want to spoil anything, but I loved it. I mean, the characters were great. Colin Farrell, oh my God, you want to talk about makeup and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell.
Oh, I know. Couldn't even believe that was him, to be honest with you. I was like, wow.
I mean, his performance and his take on the character. And that's kind of like another thing that I liked about it. See, the thing with like Burton with Batman Returns, stuff like that, what he did, you know, with the Penguin and stuff, that my creepy, kooky side kind of enjoyed that circus freak Penguin, but that's not what Penguin was supposed to be. You know what I mean? And I think this portrayal isn't spot on to the comics, obviously, but it was very well done, and I think Colin Farrell did an amazing job with it.
No, I agree. Well, sorry, I just got distracted because something just splashed across that Naomi Judd passed away. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I get these things that you know, I'm not to be maudlin, but, you know, I have this thing called the celebrity death beeper that pops up. I mean, I used to do that because of the horror history that I used to write for Gore, so I'm still part of that. But okay, where were we? Oh, the Batman.
You know, it's funny. I appreciate every Batman series for its own. I mean, they've all had their own style. I mean, I like all of them. And I think certain actors had certain strengths. I mean, I actually like Val Kilmer as Bruce Wayne, not so much as, yes. as Batman, yes. where Michael yes. Keaton, I liked as Batman, didn't like his Bruce Wayne too much. I thought he was kind of a little too goofy as Bruce Wayne, but I mean, that, you know, that was good to give, you know, to make the two characters separate. Now, when I heard who was playing Batman in this one, I was like, what? But then again, so were a lot of other people when they heard that Michael Keaton was playing Batman.
That's true.
But, I mean, out of everyone, I mean, I like Christian Bale as both, but out of all of them, believe it or not, this one, Robert Pattinson, I liked his Bruce Wayne equally as much as I liked his Batman. And that hasn't happened for me in any of these movies, no matter who he's been playing. I mean, Christian Bale was close. I liked both of his characters, but I was totally not expecting this out of this movie. I didn't know what to think, but no, I really, really liked this movie. I thought it was a great film.
It's lit very much like a giallo with that.
Yes, yeah,
blood,
you're right.
Blood mud all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't too sure about their version of the Riddler.
But it
worked out. No, it was good. It was good.
I wasn't thrilled. It seemed like every time they announced something, I wasn't 100% sold on what they were telling us. Like you were saying, Robert Pattinson. Okay, maybe. But when I saw the movie Lighthouse with William Dafoe, that's when I knew that Pattinson could act. You know, I think a lot of people just that don't really explore a bunch of different movies and whatever didn't just associate him with those crappy Twilights. It's like, oh, this guy can act. And I was one of those people. But then when I saw Lighthouse, mm-hmm. William Dafoe, which to me was an excellent movie, seeing him act and do that descent into madness there, I'm like, okay, well, this could work. And then when they kind of teased what they were going to do with the Riddler, I'm like, oh, no, that's – I don't think – but it was done well, and it fit very well. And my only complaint was I think that they tried to run too many storylines in there at a point. I don't want to say anything to give it away, but you know, some of the stuff with Catwoman, if you guys that seen it and kind of know what I'm talking about. They could have maybe – I had no problem with the length, but it was just a little bit – they were hitting us with too much stuff, just a little bit too much. It all worked out, and it all tied together in the end. And that's what surprised me the most. It's like every little storyline that they branched off of all did tie together, and it did work. And I'm excited to see what they do. I may have an unpopular opinion here, but I'm hoping since they announced that they were doing a Batman 2, I want another villain other than Joker. I'm sorry, I'm Jokered out. I don't, you know what I mean? I'd like to see, there's so many villains that they could do. Please give us something. I mean, they could keep him in there. Batman could maybe talk to him in Arkham Asylum like they had in that deleted scene that was floating around on the internet. But
yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I'd like to see somebody else for a change and maybe save the Joker stuff. Maybe build it up over a couple movies and then maybe hit us with a third one or something. Yeah.
Well, Stevie, you haven't seen this one, but what would your take on some of the other Batman films?
Well, I'm really partial to the, as you were saying, the Tim Burton, the two that Tim Burton directed. The remaining two, the Val Kilmer was not entirely awful. I do remember, and I only just recently acquired it. I haven't looked at it again yet, but I did revisit the two Tim Burton directed films, and they hold up for me anyway. They hold up very well. I do acknowledge what you said though about Michael Keaton and his quirkiness as Bruce Wayne. I do think that was probably a conscious decision on his part to try to give some kind of an unexpected quality to the guy who's supposed to be stone-faced underneath all of that, you know, latex, you know, when he's Batman. But you're also right, though, when you say that when Keaton was announced for the role, it was just about mutiny.
I remember that terrible
snide remarks about Mr. Mom can't be, Batman, and all this kind of.
I remember that. Yeah,
and he really did prove himself. I think it holds up really well, and so many people continue. I mean, I think the part should always go on to be essayed by other people, and it's interesting to see their strengths and weaknesses and such. But I grew up with the TV series. I loved the TV series. The best thing about the TV series is that it works for children and adults, and each of them think they know the best quality about it, and those qualities are entirely separate from one another. I grew up with that series. I loved it, but the campiness really did need to kind of be minimized after that. And I really liked the approach that Burton, when he did mount those two that he directed, in really kind of darkening the tone, making it so that all of these parent associations for the second film came screaming bloody murder about, how dare they make such a movie? And McDonald's was horrified that their Happy Meals weren't going to be happily consumed by children because the children weren't going to – they thought that the children were going to be traumatized by watching this Penguin movie, you know, this thing coming out of the sewer. And, it's the backlash was horrendous to the point, sadly, in my mind, that the studio just gave Tim Burton the bums rush after the second movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went in there and had some meetings, and basically they made him feel like, well, we really don't want you around anymore because McDonald's is unhappy. You know, we want someone else. Mm-hmm. Brighten it up. Put some color.
But what are they? What were they unhappy about? They could have put the Penguin toy in a fillet of fish Happy Meal or something like that. That would have been. Wouldn't have cared.
Well,
I think the downfall of the whole thing was, it worked with the Penguin and the Catwoman, but then having to pair up the villains after that. I just think it was too much because I like Jim Carrey. I just felt that Jim Carrey's Riddler was just Jim Carrey. It was Jim Carrey, like his shtick. And I like Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face. I love that idea, but he got overshadowed by Jim Carrey in that film. If they had done them separately, I think it would have worked. I mean, I love Tommy Lee Jones. You know, I thought he made a great. So Bones, is it ironic we're sitting here talking about Batman?
Yeah. especially as we continue to talk about the Michael Keaton era of Batman.
Sorry, guys, it's an inside joke. I'm just well, not so much, but yeah. Why aren't people calling in now? We need an expert. Why don't they call in now? You know. So Bones, well, let me hear you. You know, what do you? I know you like the new movie, but you know, what is your? You really haven't weighed in too much about it.
Well, I mean, when we were talking about it before, I went to go see it because I went to go see it the night that it came out, and you were very mm-hmm. apprehensive about this film. You're very
yes, I was.
Concerned. And I was trying to tell you that your concerns were unfounded. And if you remember, I went on and on about the James Gordon portrayal.
Right.
Because I thought that he was very, very good. And,
oh, he was. Yes, he was excellent.
You know, and Neil Adams, Batman artist back in, like, the early 70s, you know, when they're making a conscious effort to step away from the campy thing that they had for so long after the series had, you know, been on television and whatnot. This Gordon reminds me of that era of Batman in the comic books. This Gordon
mm-hmm.
does.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
yeah,
I think Steve will love it. I think Stevie will love it because a lot of this film just plays off like a giallo. They need to have like somebody with like a pair of black leather gloves, you know, and who is it? And, you know, lots of people having like a razor blade taken to their throat or something like that, because it's very, has a lot of giallo stuff to it. Very strong giallo feel. I liked Batman Returns. I liked the homage to all the silent film stuff that was going on, like the Penguin. Mm-hmm. He looked mm-hmm. rather reminiscent of like Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Walken being Max Shrek. You know,
yeah.
who
mm-hmm.
Shrek was. Mm-hmm. He was brought to. So I liked all that. You know, they did go crazy when they announced that this guy was going to be like, you know, Sparkle Batman or something. That's what people were worried about. And they definitely were throwing a fit when Keaton was announced to be Batman. But, you know, they kind of did that, too, with Ben Affleck. And I thought, from a physical standpoint, like, say, the fighting scenes, things like that, I thought that his Batman was quite good. I liked his Batman.
Yes, it was. I did, too.
Yeah, I do. I do. Definitely.
I don't. He looks like he could kick somebody's ass, unlike the rest of them.
well, he was supposedly like the older Batman anyway, like from, you know, The Dark Knight. And
yeah.
That's what I liked about his Batman.
Yeah, and he played that well.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my one concern with the Justice League was here they were forming. I don't want to go too far off, but just talking about Batman, they were forming the Justice League for the first time. But then you had the older, you know, Dark Knight Batman, and that just didn't quite fit for me personally. We got Superman that's just been around for a little bit, and Wonder Woman that just comes out, but you got this older Batman. I mean, it worked, and I really enjoy him as Batman, but that was kind of threw me for a loop a little bit, because he did play the older, more seasoned superhero.
I felt that they made a mistake by having him be this older Batman when they could have just easily had him. He could have been a Batman that was 10 years younger than he actually is in real life. I mean, he could have done that quite easily.
Definitely. Yeah, it's not his like his age or his look or anything. It was how they wrote the role for him. No, you're exactly right.
Well,
he could have easily played a younger Batman.
Well, let me ask you guys a question too. And see, this is what confuses me about a lot of what goes on with movies. Like, look at how long it took them to do Jason versus Freddy. And I know it has a lot to do with companies owning certain things. And now you're finally seeing them get on the same page with Marvel with, possibly the X-Men now finally joining the Marvel Universe and all that. My problem is when they go too far. I'm a comic book purist. And again, that's what Bones was referring to when I had trepidations about different people playing James Gordon, because I really like Gary Oldman as Gordon. But my thing is, they did this with Spider-Man, and they kind of did it with The Flash. I didn't like the idea of them making The Flash a young kid, and I don't get the reasoning behind that unless I'm missing something. Was he supposed to be like Kid Flash, who's The Flash now, or I never understood that part of it. I mean, why, you have Aquaman as an adult and you have Wonder Woman as an adult. What was with The Flash? And a second part to that question, why didn't they pick, what's his name that plays him on TV? I don't get that either.
Yes.
They might replace him with that guy with all the trouble that this Ezra Miller has been in lately. This guy reminds me of Robert Downey Jr. Reminds me of that era of Robert Downey Jr. where people are coming home and it's like, who the hell is this in our bed? And then it's Robert Downey Jr.
Who's now? Hey, look at—he did a turnaround. I mean, come on. And that's the—that's my big question. Even going beyond, okay, why are you picking a young guy or a younger guy? Or making. Not that he's younger, but they're kind of making the Flash look like a kid. Why didn't they make the Flash an adult? And why didn't they go with Grant? What's his name? Gustin, the one who plays him on TV. I mean, I don't know.
Asking that question is like asking how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll. We'll never know because. I don't know who makes these. Here's my biggest complaint. Now, I'm a DC guy. I've always been a DC guy. I read all comics, but if you ask me, do you pick Marvel or DC, I'm always going to lean more towards DC. I like those characters more.
Me too.
Warner Brothers knows what to do with these properties. I really don't. I know that they don't want to do what Marvel's doing, what Disney's doing with Marvel, because everyone's going to say, oh, they're just copying them. But what Marvel did is from the beginning, giving everybody their own movie and building up that storyline, that worked. It seemed like Warner Brothers just wanted to throw everything in the pot and see what they got. And I'm not saying that they needed to do two, three movies of Aquaman or two, three movies of Ben Affleck, Batman, so on and so forth. They didn't have to do that, but you're throwing these characters in and they're just so, they just didn't mesh. Things just didn't mesh well. And the decisions that they made, like you said, with the Flash being young or Batman being older, it just doesn't, I think to the average person that enjoys comics, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But then again, like you're saying too, you have someone that is successfully playing the Flash on TV for how many seasons now? Why not use them?
Oh, my gosh, I mean, it's eight, nine seasons already.
Yeah. I mean, you would think, okay, you want to build up a new a cinematic Flash. You already have a built-in audience. if you just bring the show and just, you know, give it a shot of steroids or something to make it cinematic, bring in Justin Grant and all that. Whoever's making these decisions on these DC properties at Warner Brothers, they must be partying with Ezra Miller because they don't know what the hell they're doing.
There's going to be when the Flash movie does come out, which is supposed to be next year. I mean, you know, hopefully it's going to come out. I mean, Ben Affleck's supposed to be playing Batman in there, and Supergirl's supposed to be in it, but it's not the actress who plays it on TV. And I can't get by that logic. Why change it? Why not, you know? What I want to know is Michael Keaton is supposed to be Batman in that movie.
Yeah, I'm looking for
another
honestly,
Batman.
At this point, that's the only reason why I think I will see the Flash at this point, because I cannot stand Ezra Miller's Flash. I can't stand it. I mean, yeah, I chuckled at some of his lines in Justice League, but that's as far as it goes. So a Flash movie I had no desire to see. Now Michael Keaton make an appearance in it when all the multiverses get torn apart. I'll go see it because of that. And I hear, too, I read somewhere that he admits, he says that line from Batman, "You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts." So.
No, really?
Yeah. I guess it's in there, so I don't know. I'll see it for him, but that's about the extent of it. But see, here's the problem. Like what Bones, you said with Ezra Miller, is he going to continue being the Flash because of all the problems he's in? They did this movie. They screwed up because everything that I've been reading, this movie sets up a couple different things. It sets up a Batgirl, Batwoman, or whatever, and Michael Keaton's supposed to have a part in that. It's supposed to be a centerpiece for where they were going to go. Now you have Ezra Miller throwing chairs and beating people up in Hawaii. He's going to be most likely blacklisted soon. And here Warner Brothers is going to see themselves going back to the drawing board. But so how is this? It's a mess is what it is.
Well, now that they've merged with Discovery, I feel like Discovery has a way better idea of what the people want to see than AT&T ever had.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. I can agree with that. I'm just hoping it gets on track, because these are such amazing characters. And really, other than Batman and Superman, we really haven't seen, and I'm talking going back to, you know, Keaton, Christopher Reeves, Adam West. Those are the only two DC characters, and Wonder Woman with Linda Hamilton, that really have only... that have shined throughout the years, throughout the decades. And there's so much untapped potential with other characters as well as crossovers with these characters. And it's sad that we're at a point where comic book movies are, you know, people want to see them, but we're seeing these characters that we so desperately want to see, and it's just not clicking. It's just not working.
Kids, I don't understand these people. Why would, you know, you land a, you know, I've always said anybody that lands a plum role in any of these, whether it's Marvel or DC movies, I mean, you seriously, you've got it made as far as your career goes, because, you know, you're going to be
sure.
In sequel upon sequel upon sequel. So I don't understand where this guy's head is. Because, I mean, just while you guys are talking about it, I just looked it up real quick. And, yeah, they're having heavy-duty meetings at Warner Brothers about whether he's going to continue to be, you know, the Flash. And
yeah.
For everything we're talking about, you know, it's like we said, you can get away with putting people in, you know, multiple people in parts today, you know. So,
yeah.
He's an
idiot. Especially
when
he got the Flash. You know, especially when you got the Flash and you got the idea of the multiverse. you know, which they explored kind of with Crisis in the Flash TV show. You got the multiverse.
Yeah.
So now it's become, you know, there's an easy explanation on how they change gears and whatnot. The problem becomes is how many times can you change gears before people say, you know, enough, I'm not interested anymore. That's when it mm-hmm. becomes, I think, an issue. But we'll see. We'll see.
Any thoughts, Stevie?
Well, I am very much interested in seeing this new Batman film. I've liked everything that I've seen in advance, you know, the previews and trailers and things. And I'm one who's inclined to think that actors will always surprise you. You know, there may be an actor as Keaton was back in the day, or as this new fellow is, having come from the Twilight franchise, which I detest. But I don't hold that against the actors. The actors are merely the actors are merely doing a job, you know, and they come out of that job and they will go on to other roles. And yes, the Lighthouse was definitely a wonderful sort of prompt to show that, well, yes, this kid, I call him a kid just because I'm ancient, but, you know, this kid's got talent. This kid can hold his own against Willem Dafoe, which is no small task. And,
not at all.
You know, so you know, I'm not going to hold, and I don't hold those kinds of things against people because, you know, they were in a franchise that I loathe and despise. You know, because, you know, they came from somewhere and they have, presumably they have something to offer. So yeah, I'm glad this guy's surprised people. Just as Affleck surprised people. My gosh, we all remember that backlash. It was horrendous. Mm-hmm. And it was just another case of people just sit the damn hells down and just be quiet and wait and stop judging, you know, because
yes.
you might be surprised. You might end up, you know, receiving something that you can appreciate. So, I mean, stop with the speculation. Stop with the naysaying. These people, you know, if they end up sucking, then they end up, if they end up coming off like George Clooney in Batman, then that's the way it is. Okay, it was a mistake. But chances are there are enough people behind these things. I know there are a lot of schmoes in the suits in the offices who don't know what they're doing, but the creatives generally know what they're doing. You know, the people
yeah.
down on the front lines.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I am very interested in seeing the new film when it becomes available. I will say, if I can just insert this without exploding, you know, the wavelength here. I'm probably the unpopular guy on the panel here because in terms of the more recent Batman trilogy, those films were excellent. The take on them was so individual and distinct and stripped down and sort of really, really brought into the nuts and bolts of the real world, I felt. You know, it wasn't fanciful at all. And the only thing is that I absolutely despised Christian Bale's Batman. I just didn't like him. Now, I know a lot of people did, and that's cool. You know, I don't expect anybody to adopt my opinion. But he almost ruined ruined those movies for me. It's just that there was so much else in those movies, so much richness in them that carried me along, that I could still appreciate them. His Bruce Wayne was fine, but his Batman, I don't accept it. You know, I'm just that guy. I'm just that guy.
I don't know. I just couldn't
so
get past the gravelly voice.
Yeah, the voice
the
was
way,
stupid. It was just
it was
stupid.
Yeah, kind of
it was
top.
A bad choice. You know, if he could have gone another way, maybe. Because I was a Christian Bale fan. I thought he was a fine actor from where he came from. You know, so I was disappointed in that.
Well, and this, I'm going to ask this other question real quick because what do you? I mean, I don't know. What do you think the bigger backlash was? Was Michael Keaton playing Batman or the idea of Nicolas Cage playing Superman? Do you think? Well, and this brings me to my question. Look, when Christopher Reeve took over the part of Superman, I mean, he was just a soap opera actor. And nobody really knew him.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel that, right. I mean, Robert Pattinson, you know, was not a real big star. I mean, people knew who he was. Do you think
right.
it's better, and you mentioned George Clooney, and this is the perfect example to me, do you think it's better when they pick someone that is more of a relative unknown to play these superhero parts than to pick a big star?
Well, look at Sean Connery as 007. You know, no one knew who he was. And he was the biggest star in the world. You know, the biggest damn star in the whole world. That movie series made him a legend. And fortunately, he was a talented fellow, and he could go on and do other things that were equally or even more greatly wonderful. So I actually favor the unknown equation. I like the idea of very carefully casting unknowns in certain parts and letting them grow with the part and letting their persona grow with the public. I do like that. I think it's much better than the stunt casting of, yeah, here's a great big movie star and he's going to play so-and-so. I think that's the problem. It's the best example, I'm sorry, but every time they replace Bond, you know, there's always 20 names that go flying around, everybody from, Burt Reynolds to, who knows? I'm not getting the names. Names aren't coming to my mind. But I mean, you know, we all know the list. You know, the stunt casting, the celebrity casting, and I always thought that was a mistake.
Well, and to me, the example of that, I mean, The Punisher, the one back in 2004 when they cast Thomas Jane, who wasn't a big known actor at the time, and I liked him much better than casting Dolph Lundgren as the Punisher. But I mean, that's what it. I mean, to me, I always felt it was better that you pick someone that could act, of course, but he didn't have to be. I mean, that was like Nicolas Cage playing Ghost Rider. I mean, I hated that. Absolutely hated that.
Oh,
and it's not Nicolas Cage. It's he to me was not Johnny Blaze. That's not who he was, you know, so.
Yeah.
I think when you cast a well-known actor, and let's go back to Jim Carrey and the Riddler. When you cast a well-known actor, you run the danger of getting what we got with Jim Carrey's Riddler. Now, he was good as a Riddler, but like you said, he overshadowed everything he stole the show. But when you look at it, it's like, okay, well, maybe that's not really the Riddler. That's just Jim Carrey. And I think every once in a while, they might strike gold by, you know, casting a well-named person in a role like that, possibly. But 9 times out of 10, I agree with what you guys are saying. The unknown is what has more success at doing something like that. because let's face it, with these types of characters, especially with comic book characters, there's so many fans that have, preconceived notions on what the movie should be or how the character should be played. And that's where you get a lot of the people bashing the movie before it even gets released, you know, on the internet. It's very difficult. So when you do put a name that somebody knows, then that just fuels that fire. And but if you get it, put an unknown, that kind of it takes the pressure off the actor. And it's funny because I saw, I can't remember what late night show Patterson was on, but he was talking with somebody. This was right before the movie came out, and they joked with him, and they said, oh, you know that this is either going to, like, super catapult your career or you're never going to work again, because it's like you either succeed as Batman and everybody loves you, or if you screw this up, you know, everybody hates you. And
it's the truth.
It is the truth. And but Patterson was talking about how, you know, he went in with a lot of preconceived notions on what it should be, and then the director was like, oh no, we're going to do it this way, blah blah blah. But he said that he felt a lot of pressure like that, because he knew the expectations were there. Now, fortunately, he acts. He wasn't that well-known of a name, so, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of backlash previously to him. There were some, but not a whole lot. And he succeeded. I guess my long-winded point is the no-name actors have a better chance of succeeding in roles like this than the established, more well-known.
No, I agree. Well, gentlemen, I don't even know if this is still recording at this point. I don't know if it stopped at 1:20 or 1:30, but I think we're going to call it here.
It is getting late for me. Yeah, that would be a good time.
Yeah, this was you and me both. But I got to thank you all. This is a lot of fun doing this. And thank you, Stevie, for hanging in there with us. And
sure,
I appreciate it. And thanks, Mike and Bones. Well, you know, thank you.
we had to be here for this. We had to be here.
So, Bones, I'm going to give the last word to you, as always.
Well, okay. Real quick, I want to say that I love you, and we all owe you a great deal of gratitude, and we definitely feel that, and we definitely want you to know that. And if you don't know it, then we're doing our job. And I want everybody out there to be safe. This pandemic thing is not over yet, let me tell you. And just know that we need to just be kind to each other and be understanding and be patient. We need to remain optimistic and about just everything, just in general. And just, you know, it's all about the love. So we love this genre. We love each other. We love you. Let everybody you know that you love, let them know how much you love them, and do it often, okay?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, thank you, everybody. I really appreciate all the thoughts and the well wishes, and I do. I greatly appreciate it. And Stevie?
Yeah.
You still there? Oh, check your mail.
I'm here.
mail for a surprise.
I will. Oh, okay.
Just don't tell the FBI. Alrighty.
Well, thank you.
Don't tell the FBI. That's all I ask.
All right. Okay.
Oh, shame, shame. I know what that is.
Well, thanks
again,
for having me.
Thank you, guys.
Sure.
All right. Take care, everybody.
All right. Take care. Thank you. Thank you. Take care and have a great night.